Welcome, beautiful being, to the Gaia Goddess Podcast. I am your host and founder, Maria Marshall. Each episode, we explore the transformational journey of women entrepreneurs, healers, and experts as they share their insightful stories and wisdom with a world of modern-day goddesses. Check out our community and free online content at GaiaGoddessLifestyle.com. Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I have a very interesting guest today, Pavel Noah. Am I saying it right? Noah Anon, the brand name?
Noah Aeon.
Noah Aeon. So N-O-A-A-O-N. It's actually a very interesting brand name. And Pavel has a very interesting experience, varied experience in spirituality, consciousness, wellness, all kinds of good vibes. And he is an international conscious DJ producer, which I want to ask what that means, but not right now. Serial impact, seven-figure entrepreneur and investor, certified ambassador of peace, and Wim Hof instructor. Noah has a unique and diverse set of skills that he brings to his workshops, immersive experiences, retreats, and lectures. His teachings integrate ancient wisdom with modern day science and technology to provide simple daily routines that can help you achieve unity, love, and joy in your life. And who doesn't need unity, love, and joy in your life? So we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, Pavel. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much as well. And thank you for opening this educational portal for others, because a lot of times we don't realize how important that is and the inspiration and motivation that brings. So on behalf of all your listeners, I want to thank you for your time and your effort.
Well, I love talking about things that expand and heal and uplift. So I think that's exactly what we're doing today. And I'm very interested, always like what starts somebody out on a journey? And it looks like you've had 15 years of experience traveling the world and immersing yourself in, as you say, some of the most rigorous teachings. So what do those rigorous teachings include, if I might ask?
Well, I'll start with the why, because I think it's important to understand what even, you know, led me to this, because it was years of pain, suffering, emotional baggage, traumas. I, you know, had a chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr, autoimmune issues, suicidal thoughts when I was 18. So to understand this, you have to understand the amount of suffering I went through that, you know, led me to start questioning, you know, is this how we're supposed to live? Is this it? You know, this societal norm to go to school, have our life be at work or job and, you know, get a wife, get a kids and be done with it. And so my whole life, I had a constant voice inside of my head that was saying, there is more, there is more. And that more started at an early stage when I grew up with shaman in Czech Republic. And essentially, my mother was the first initial spark into, you know, meditation, yoga, and different healing modalities. But it wasn't until later in life when I fell into deep depression that I decided to travel the world, and anybody that had the answer to, you know, solving emotional pain and mental health issues and physical health, I decided to go on a plane, fly there, and learn from these people. And so when we talk about the amount of, I guess, stuff, you know, I've done anything from a samurai camp in Japan, where I learned the way of a peaceful warrior. I done Zen master training. I have taken a trip to Brazil to spend time with the psychics to learn about our psychic abilities and spiritual powers. You know, I've studied and trained under Wim Hof, the Iceman, where I literally, about 8 years ago, I went into a retreat sick, and I walked out of that, you know, cold immersion healthy, which was just fascinating. And I've done 4 times 10 days in darkness with no food, no light in the middle of Thailand. And I'm going on a 5th one this upcoming March. And essentially, I went from place to place. And it really wasn't until 8 years ago when I went into darkness for the first time that I like got it. I had this light switch, you know, turned on. And that light switch was a complete 360, you know, change in my life. And what it meant was I wasn't on my path. You know, I was being a busy entrepreneur and following the societal norm. And even though I was very successful, I was extremely unhappy and burned out. And so essentially that escalated into this message that I have to bring this to the world. I have to start living in service. And that's essentially the rise of Noah Aeon. And so Noah means movement. Aeon, it means all or none. And it symbolizes duality. And I played my whole life ping pong, you know, highs and lows and good days and bad days and success and not success. And I was done with it. I knew there is another way. And that way was coming back into the center, coming back into the middle line. And so that we now realize with giving these tools to others.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So very interesting backstory. I it's interesting because my path very different, like very painful journey, very painful childhood, a lot to shadow, to transmute, led from thing to thing. But in the end, saw how it was all wove together to get me here to be on path, to be on in alignment with my soul's purpose. Always loving helping people, but not quite knowing how I would do it, or was I even worthy to do it? And so there was a lot of self-discovery. And I can imagine, I'll have to talk to you more about the days in the darkness, but I'm just curious, what is a conscious DJ and how is he different from a non-conscious DJ?
It's so funny, right? So like we live in the world of labels, and I quite hate it, but it's really hard to discern DJ from DJ that is conscious in a sense. And what that means to me or to our group is we create sober parties. So there is no alcohol involved. We create a space for alternative ways to socialize. Because for me, when I quit drinking alcohol, it's completely transform my life, but it also transformed relationships, the quality of relationships. And as a DJ, I could never go back into the nightclub, because when I wasn't drunk, when I wasn't drinking and you know, doing all the things that go into it, I was like, what am I doing here? Like, this place is literally like evil in so many ways. It's
vibration.
It's making us, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, I love music, which by the way, that happened to me in a dark room. So the first time I went in there, I rediscovered my passion, which is music. So I learned how to produce music and how to DJ in solfeggio frequencies. So all of our music has a solfeggio frequencies in it.
Yep.
But also, each time that we do a conscious rave, you know, we set an intention. Maybe we do a cacao ceremony. We open up the group and we use dance or music as a way of alchemy, as a way of transformation, as a way of meditation. So that became my passion. Purpose is lectures, workshops, retreats, you know, how we connect with the world. And legacy became, how do we make means with living in service in this world? And so long story short, that's you know, essentially what that means.
Yeah, no, very interesting. And I can totally relate to society and the use of alcohol and restaurants and nightclubs. It's the norm more than the exception. So how do you create space where alcohol isn't a part of the equation and yet you get more out of it because you know, alcohol is a depressant and it does lower our vibration and taxes our system and all these other things, but you don't want people to feel like they're missing something. So how do you enhance the experience with the vibrations, with the intention, with the alchemy, and actually create more, way more than you would, you know, going into a nightclub and consuming a lot of alcohol and bringing your vibe down, waking up the next morning hungover. I have these conversations with friends. I'm like, also, how can we make it fun and use some herbs? And like, it could be an herbal cart, maybe with mushrooms or whatever, different ways of enjoying what the earth gives us that's natural. And also is can calm you, get you in a vibe, get you playful maybe. I mean, I think a way of like exploring some different alternatives that are made with powerful plant medicine would be cool down the road. But we'll see. In the next few years, probably not tomorrow. I know the world's ready.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, in the conscious communities that we are with, I mean, there's plenty of people that socialize this way. And I think that's also part of our mission, you know, to unify these communities because, you know, people are craving more consciousness. People are craving more true human connection. Yeah. And, you know, we live in this world of complete connection, but yet the biggest disconnection ever. And what we seek in going out and in parties is a release, is having fun, having joy, having, you know, experiencing love on not just, you know, relational level with a partner, but just feelings of love to be excited and ecstatic. And that's why, by the way, we call it an XTC, getting ecstatic is our, the name for the dance, because we want to experience the natural ecstasy within us. And that's breath, that's music, that's getting lost in timelessness. And we're also living in the world of, you know, mental health has never been worse in our civilization, and emotional well-being, you know, the same thing. And how do we fuel our emotion? It happens through timelessness, and that is through creativity, art, music, singing, dancing. And so this is why it's such a big piece of my life now, because I forgot to dream. I forgot to play. I forgot to, you know, do all of these things before I went into the cave. And when I finally slow down enough to be able to hear, what do I want? Who am I? How do I want to experience myself? Then I get all of these answers. So I start applying it for my life. And then natural flow of life, right? When we are in self-mastery, we want to go into service. And so that's how we got started, was through then inspiring others to also play, to also have fun. And that's what we do in our events.
Yeah. No, play is so important. And we lose that very early on. And, you know, the sense of play, we can go through difficult childhood traumas or, you know, just wanting to be older, wanting to be more mature, and then you don't want to play anymore. And then you lose that sense. And it's kind of like you can very easily go into survival mode in life where you completely shut down play. And it's just do responsibility. And life isn't joyful and isn't, you know, and you're not in the flow because we are meant to play and we're meant to have fun and, you know, get work done and also have a release and have those moments of joy and connection, really. I wanted to ask you, because you talk about integrating ancient wisdom with modern science. And I think one of the limitations of modern science is that it doesn't account for spirit.
Just like you, I think science is actually not really valid at all, unfortunately, in a lot of ways, because if you look at science in general, it's so subjective. I mean, majority of science is done on men, on specific categories of people, on progressive science, like quantum science, I think, is where it gets interesting. And I think that's where it's really starting to merge spirituality, consciousness, and you know, like relativity, understanding unity, oneness. I mean that these type of things have been coming to the space, including, for example, just science of water, vibration, frequency. and energy. So I do think there is plenty of science when it comes to the mainstream that it already has it here. When you think about the science that we use, so we looked at all of the aspects that we teach, and then we looked back into what kind of scientific, you know, proof is there that it actually has the benefits. And so, you know, when you look at the science of breath, for example, so we use about 20 different styles of breathing modalities. I mean, it's currently one of the most fastest growing, you know, industry or I think just like yoga, you know, 10, 15 years ago in the States, that's what's happening with the consciousness of breath. And, you know, whatever you look at James Nestor, that I think went and created a great book called The Breathe. Dan Brulé, then you've got Stanislav Grof from Holotropic, all the way to, you know, Wim Hof. All teachings of Wim Hof are nowadays, you know, science-driven, and that's like his main mission. So There's plenty of validation to what it does physiologically, mentally, and also on like a brainwave perspective. When you look at music, huge amounts. When you look at dancing, right, the amount of endorphins and release, dopamine, serotonin that it can inhibit. You look at meditation, right, from the HRV perspective, heart rate variability. HeartMath Institute has been, you know, pioneering that field. So I actually think there's plenty of validation, and we like to use this so people understand, for the analytical mind, people understand this. But the main message that I want to share is it's embodied change. And so consciousness is about embodying, you know, the higher aspect of us within the physical part of us here living on Earth. And the most important thing is being the own alchemist of your own life, asking questions constantly. And yes, use data, use metrics. But the metrics, you know, you don't have to have anything too difficult. I mean, just simple self-assessment, you know, 0 to 10, right? Like 10, I'm at good level, 0, I'm, you know, sucking today. And to be honest, like when I look at life, I look at it from a very simple level. So we've got three different ways of how we operate. There's the me, which is the physical body, mental body, emotional body, and spiritual body. And what I do is I just literally put a self-assessment in my, you know, daily, weekly, monthly routines. And what I do is, you know, physical body, what's my health state like? 0 to 10. Mental body, right? 0 to 10. Emotional body, spiritual connection. And then I also add the we, which is the collective consciousness. This is our relationships, our environment. And then I call it the be, which is, so it's the me, we, be model that in which we operate. And it's the micro and macro cycles through which we learn. And the B is the supra consciousness or supra collective, which is, you know, if this universe was created 13.5 billion years ago, how did we get here? You know, we're a little drop of a dot in this vast ocean. And when I look at life, if I look at it from these three, you know, aspects, and then I summarize them and self-assess constantly, because there's not a better feedback, there's not a better research or science or study than asking yourself, does this work or does this not work? And if things work for you, use them, keep them, work with them, develop them. If something doesn't work for you or someone, right, drop it, lift it, or change it.
I understand you are saying that you use the question to assess yourself daily. How has that developed not only your awareness, but your intuition? Like, how has it enhanced and expanded you living in the question and, you know, being self-aware?
Totally. So I think the biggest question I always like to ask is, what would love do now? And especially when I'm not sure or unsure of different situations, or if I'm becoming somebody that I don't want to be, like you mentioned, I simply ask this. But what's important to discern is that, you know, we've got the egoic mind, which is, you know, fantastic tool to book a flights and pay your bills and beyond. But outside of that, our egoic mind or monkey brain or whatever we call it or label it, it's limited, right? It learns from the past, whatever we've learned through, read, listen to, and it projects the same experiences into the future. This is how we can predict our, you know, countries and different situations, because a majority of the world are living in this limited mindset or wheel set. Now, then we've got the limitless mind, or some people call it the higher self, the realized self, the part of us that is one, that is enlightened, that is already of, you know, the one unified realms of existence. And that one communicates with us through four different senses. And I've learned this in Brazil, where they taught me, you know, we've got five physical senses that a lot of times get us in trouble, the instant gratifications and dopamine buzz and, you know, quick short burst of excitement. But then we've got four psychic senses or spiritual gifts. And this is your inner hearing. These are the whispers that we have, not the lousy mind, but the little whisper that is telling you, you know, stop watching Netflix at night, wake up and quit drinking alcohol or work out. And that's a little whisper that always has our back. But at first, it might be quite quiet until we, you know, hear it louder and louder. Now, how do we develop this whisper? We develop it through acknowledging it. So when you hear this information, thank you, I heard that. What you're going to do about that is what sets the sequence of a flow to essentially strengthen this inner wisdom. Now, then we've got our inner seeing, which is visions, you know, the visionaries of the world. They can see things before they happen through impressions or colors or lucid dreaming. And these are the inner seers, so to speak, in the world. And same thing, when you see it, something, thank you, I saw that. What you going to do about that to strengthen that? Then you've got your inner knowing or intuition. And the best way to discern this is when you think, you don't know. When you know, you don't require to think.
Yeah,
it's sometimes the hardest one to discern because of the egoic mind that has an agenda. But when you knew you shouldn't have gone to the party, you know, you knew that that person was cheating on you. You had no doubt. It was just an inner know it. Then you've got your inner feeling, which is the empaths of the world. And this is when, you know, you are at the airport, you're picking up on something and something doesn't feel right. Or Reiki, pranic healing, you know, that's based on this empathic part of us that we activate through the solar plexus, extending into our hands, and it's in our body. You know, when you walk into a room and let's say there was a fight, something doesn't feel right. It's in your body. So these four senses is how we speak to this limitless source of information, which constantly is wanting to give us, you know, the right information that is limitless, that always has your back. And everybody has these senses. We're just not taught how to use them, how to develop them, because if we did, we would be limitless. And that's what not
so powerful.
Government societies don't want that.
No, uh-uh.
And then we wouldn't have wars, right? Then we wouldn't, you know, hurt one another. We wouldn't talk bad to each other. And anyway, so part of my biggest mission is how do we bring that embodied consciousness back into our physical state? And what do we do with this information even more so? A lot of times I get asked, like, do you have mystical experiences and this? You know, yes, awesome. But like, how do we actually apply this into these questions, into everyday life? And so that's really what interests me, right? And so learning how to communicate with these senses, learning how to have and create this feedback between them and strengthening these, just like muscle, right? If we go to a gym, we do a repetition. Well, that happens through acknowledgement, through trust, and also through action.
Right.
So whichever ones you have the strongest ones, you know, maybe you have one or two that are more prominent for you. Those are the ones you follow, you develop them, work with them. And I just want a reminder. So when I went in there, I was a busy entrepreneur. I didn't really necessarily believe in this. But what happened was I start having these voices being louder and louder. It started giving me, you know, deeper and deeper feedback. And that's what led me on this path of trust and belief system.
Right. And I'm wondering, because I've been clairaudient my whole life, didn't know it in my 20s. But what I have really noticed, I mean, if I need to have an emotional release through breath work, it's going to come up. But if I, the longer I breathe, and if it's just like less bringing up releases, I get a lot of messages during my breath work. You know, it's like a meditative state, I guess. So like all of a sudden business, you know, everything will start coming through. And so it is a time where my clairaudience can, I could be sitting across somebody at a restaurant and all of a sudden I hear a popping in my ear and I'm like, what do you want me to know? And then I'll hear, you need to get up and go introduce yourself to that woman who smiled at you. And that's not something I would normally do, but if my clairaudience tells me to do it, I'm going to do it because I trust it and I trust my intuition. But I again, it's something that I've worked on and have a practice of working and developing. And if you don't trust it, like you said, and you don't work with it, then it doesn't really get stronger because it's like, you're not listening to me. It's kind of like when you dream, if you journal your dreams, they get more and more vivid. You remember more and more. And then before you know it, you have 10 dreams a night. You have to write them down. You can't sleep at all. You're like, stop it. Which is literally what happened to me. I can't write these dreams down anymore because they're like volumes. But anyways, I think that's one of the most empowering things to tell people and the women that I work with is that we all have an internal compass. We all are claircognizant because we have higher selves and souls, and we are connected to all that is. So that is inside us, right? And that is, of course, got our back and always speaking to us. So, you know, with the understanding the intuition and learning to trust it and develop it further, it's just great because you don't have to give your power away to someone else. You already know. And like you said, I think there's a big investment to keeping us out of our knowing, but that's changing. So I'm really glad that you're here on the planet connecting people to their intuition and to their gifts and to different ways of being in the world that are more aware and freeing, liberating, you know, besides being more joyful and more in alignment with the reality of who we really are. We are not just, you know, people in a body. We are aspects of the Creator come in form for experiences. And which makes us all powerful. And I don't mean that, you know, people hate to claim their power. Oh, I'm powerful. Oh, what are you, or like power hungry? No, powerful as like a soul, as love incarnate in a body. You know, how could you be anything but worthy and powerful if that is what you are, who you are? So on that note, I love everything you're saying and totally, you know, align with the different gifts that we have and ways that we're meant to navigate life. And curious though, what came up for you in your first 10-day dark retreat with the breatharians in Thailand, and what made you even think about doing it?
Well, what I've learned is how we spend time is what determines our frequency and vibration. And so what's really interesting, even with all of these senses, you know, to open up to them, we have to understand that if we're constantly in a busy, overreactive beta brainwave state, then we're going to be overanalyzing. We're going to be anxious. We're going to just keep on wanting to do. Now, what happens in places like dark room is you do the complete opposite. You unhook yourself from anywhere to be, anyone to see, anything to see, because it's literally dark. And what
no iPhones allowed in there, right?
No phones allowed. That was the first thing. You drop it in a little plastic bag and you're like, goodbye, world. And as hard as it was, especially the first time, I start finding love and appreciation and healing in it. It's actually like the biggest medicine of my life because it's all you. It's all your power. It's all your strength to go through. And it allows you to have a space to hear, to feel, to see, to know. And so the amount of opening that happens there to actually be able to have this clear experiences is insane. Because for the first time, you know, in my life, I just stopped everything And so I find it so healing because you all of a sudden imagine just not seeing blue lights, you know, computers and phones and not hearing any sounds in so long. It's really, it's crazy what it does. Now, you know, every single time I go, so the first time I had the breakthrough on day 7. So it literally took me 7 days to just finally surrender and let it all go. And that's when I literally start bursting into tears and I cried and cried. And I had this most magical, you know, feeling, you know, whatever it's nirvana or state of bliss. It was just this pure place of just love. And for the first time in my life, I've touched myself for who I am, not for who I am being told or not who I am not. And so I finally was able to feel and hear, you know, like, wow, like, what am I doing with my life? Why am I keep on opening, you know, Orange Theory fitness locations at that time? And I want to live my passion. I want to live my purpose. So it really triggered my brainwaves to go into a whole different state. And that's really what happens in meditation, in breath work. You know, we go into alpha, we go into theta, and maybe even gamma brainwaves. And we've been followed by a group of scientists in the past that actually were measuring what happens in our sessions. And I can tell you now, like, it's really truly in slowing it down, in not doing. It's in that state of being that things happen. And, you know, my favorite value is be, do, and have, because when you are it, you become it, you live it, then you do it, you take the steps, and then you have it because of a natural flow of life.
Yeah. Wow. So now you said that was your first time and you have your fourth time coming up, right? So
no, fifth time.
Fifth time. Okay. I'm sure they're all different, you know, people who do plant medicine, ayahuasca or something, for instance, every night, every time you sit with the medicine, it's a different experience. Would you say each time you do it, you go deeper, faster, or not at all? Just completely different each time. Yeah. First time took you 7 days to have the breakthrough, but now it's different because you had the breakthrough. So you're a different level of consciousness. Like what's the difference?
So first time I went, my life changed 360 because I was so misaligned with who actually I was supposed to be. The second time I had a minor changes, third time minor changes. And then the fourth time, this last time, I finally understood what it means to be nourished by prana. And so what was crazy, it's also the level of preparation that you go into because you want to actually detox way before you enter there. So that way you don't spend the first 4 days detoxing, you actually go straight into it. So what I've learned is that preparation is so crucial. I mean, I generally do liquid diet towards the last month. There's no meat, no fish, no dairy. I mean, you really clean up all the way to just liquid. And so that way, when you go in there, you are able to convert much faster. Now, what's interesting about breatharians or pranic people is that essentially they still eat all the time, but a different source of food. And that's energy that's within us. That's always regenerative and restorative. Now, we always do prana percentage testing throughout the 10 days. And so maybe you start 90-10, you know, 90% you're still require a physical food, 10% is prana. Everybody has prana source vibration. This is what gives us life when we're born and we'll go back into the oneness when we die. But it's depending on how we spend the time throughout our life is what determines how often and how much of the dense food we require. Now, throughout the week or almost two of the time, you essentially go, you know, 50-50, then you go 60-40, and then when you know exactly when you convert into the full pranic source as a food, as an energy. And when that happens, you stop losing weight. So think about it this way, up until, you know, you're still lightly nourished by the physical dense reality, you still, you're losing weight, you're fasting, you're in a fasted state. But the minute you convert, you actually start gaining weight into the perfect weight that you're required to have. And so this last time I went, it was crazy. I took pictures before and after, and every single person thinks that the one after is the one before, and then reverse, because I've actually gained weight inside of being there for 10 days without physical food. And that's just so crazy, right? For the rational mind. And even for my mind, I was like, what the hell is going on?
Well, you need to set up a scientific study.
Literally. Well, there has been, there is science, there is even YouTube, but they never published it. They never want to publish it. And it's been proven that this is possible, but nobody wants to touch it because of how far away from, you know, our current state of being it is.
Yeah, I imagine. Wow. Well, there's another thing I want to talk to you about. That's really interesting. I don't know if I'll get there one day. We'll see. But where I'm very interested because 1 year, I don't know, it was within two months or whatever, I was in South Africa and our tour guide mentioned Wim Hof. I had never heard of him. Then I get home and the guy who's doing mold remediation, he's kind of an expert in his field. He mentions Wim Hof. And, you know, I'm like, wow, wait a minute, two, you know, and it's been coming up a lot for me. I would love to do a workshop. I was in Greece on retreat and they had a cold plunge and my friend does Wim Hof. And so we did 5 days straight. I loved it. I really, really loved it. It was the kind of thing I had to psych myself up with the breath. And then she instructed me to put my hands under my arms. And that helped because otherwise I felt like my fingers were going to break off in the cold water. But I'm just curious from somebody who's trained and is certified and so on and so forth is first of all, the benefits of it. And have they studied also people who go into heat first to vasodilate first and then go into the cold? I know that's probably not accessible when you have 40 people on a retreat that they're all going to go into a sauna or an infrared sauna first. But I was just curious about the findings, the scientific data around the doing Wim Hof method. And if you knew anything about, you know, doing the hot first, doing the infrared first.
Yeah, so that would be considered contrast therapy. And, you know, that's been done for thousands of years, especially in Europe. Hot and cold has also been, you know, prescribed by the grandmoms where you know, when you're starting to feel sick, you just put your feet into hot and then you switch into cold. But essentially, what I've learned physiologically, what's really beneficial is that you start cold, you end cold. So that way there is that initial shocker. Now, time is important as well. So, I mean, we know that anywhere between 2 to 5 minutes is the perfect time for cold exposure. And if you mix it with 10 to 15 minutes sauna in between, kind of like doing a 2 to 3 times repeating it, it, you know, creates a short hormesis, short stress for your body to, you know, create more brown fat, as well as your circulation, as well as your cardiovascular system gets a great upgrade. And essentially, what I generally do, so you always start with your hands, your face, so that way you kind of hack that part of you. It has a receptors in your hands, so it prepares the body for it. And, you know, essentially there's always that 45 second initial shocker, which, you know, trains your body to either react or continue breathing slow, relax into your body. And, you know, by the way, a little side thing on when it comes to cold therapy in general, it's the biggest teacher for life situations. Because, you know, let's say that somebody just crosses in front of you in a red light, right? You have an option to react or to stay in control. And it's really training your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, you know, your fight or flight or your rest and digest. And so you have all of this power inside of you. And that's what Wim is really perpetuating in this world is that, you know, through the calm breathing, through the body's awareness, through the relaxed state, in any situation, right? Doesn't have to just be in cold or hot. You are able to keep the power within you. Now, I personally love doing the contrast therapy. You know, it strengthens your immune system, gives you energy, it resets your nervous system in general. So highly recommend it. But and also, don't do it too often, because, you know, to do it every single day, a lot of people get hooked to it and they become addicted to it, just like any other harmful things. We can also get addicted to the good things in life. So I would say, you know, practice with caution, practice with questioning, asking your body, you know, is this what will benefit my immune system today? And if you didn't sleep well, for example, night before, don't do any strenuous cold or physical exercises, because it can take your immune system down.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, and I was wondering about, you know, how many times a week. I haven't found a place. I live in New York right now, and I haven't found a place close by to give it a try, a couple of times a week. But it was a great reset. It really was. It felt great to do. And what does it do for the body's inflammation or aging or, you know, anything, other benefits other than resetting your nervous system?
So when you mean cold therapy in general?
Yeah.
So it's amazing for the immune system. It can manage pain, inflammation. It reduces inflammation. And I think this one is the biggest one, especially from longevity perspective. It improves circulation. It can boost your mood and energy. I don't quote me on this, but I think it's 250% increase in your dopamine levels after the first cold immersion, which is insane. It decreases your stress. It improves your mood, your workout recovery. It's basically good for anything. I would also say sleep. In today's world, you can measure if you have a heart rate variability device, like Oura Ring or any sleep tracker. It's been proven that your deep sleep improves as well. So, you know, it's really like the foundation of longevity, you know, is having a contrast therapy in your system.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are into the higher dose and those, you know, infrared mats and saunas. I have a biomat amethyst infrared from 15 years ago that I just started using again. So, oh my goodness. Well, listen, I guess we're coming to close to the end of our time together, but I wanted to first ask, what do you have coming up for the people that you're working with? The people, I know you do retreats, you do immersions, workshops. What's coming down the pike?
So I just landed in Washington, D.C. I'm on my first tour of the year. So we're doing a Canadian tour. That's the first part of January. Essentially, we do 100 to 150 events a year. So All across the world, from, you know, Australia to Asia to Middle East, South Africa, South America. We just got back from Ecuador and Colombia for our annual retreats. So we do tons of these, you know, unity, connection, tools is everything for us. So that's something that, you know, please, you know, check out on our website on noaaon.com, noaaon.com. We also have a digital part of things. And so I would love to gift our on-demand library for free to the listeners. We'll add it into the link. But it will give you breathwork, meditation, sound healing, ecstatic dance from your home. So that way you can, you can right away get to this. We also have courses, a variety of master courses that you can check out on all of the different topics that we discussed. And then we also have a conscious products. We have a consciousness expansion offerings. We use light therapy. We use vibration. We use nervous system hacks. So that way it helps people get into the present moment faster. And that's kind of, you know, using ancient technologies like breathwork or methodologies, but combining it with today's tech. I found it really effective and not distractive, because you don't need to meditate for 4 hours. If you can hit theta, state, you know, in few minutes. And I think that's the key with understanding how to use technology safely, not in a distracting way.
Yeah. Wow. Theta in 4 minutes. I was working with Centerpoint Research HolySync for many, many years. And it's like an hour meditation that takes you deep into theta and then takes you out. But an hour is a long time. So that's cool to know. All right. Well, we'll have to put this all in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining. It sounds like you are a busy, busy person. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You just landed on a plane and wasn't sure you were going to make it, but you made it. So such a pleasure having you. And look forward to following up and sending people to your website again. You just mentioned it again, your Instagram. Why don't you also give your Instagram?
Yeah, it's Noah Aon Official. So NOAAON Official. And it's on all of the different platforms. And we post different free value constantly. We're also on SoundCloud and Spotify. So if somebody likes music and wants to learn more about solfeggio frequencies, you can actually hear it right there.
Amazing. Have you been using the frequencies along with the breath work?
Absolutely. So every single breath work that we do, we sometimes also do AD recording where it travels in your brain. Mm-hmm. We also do binaural beats, a whole bunch of work with the gamma frequencies, alpha, beta. I mean, depending on the scale, depending on what we need to provoke, we infuse these into all of the sessions.
That's amazing. And so on Spotify, then would they just look up their brand name and then anything you have there would come up? Because the person I train with for breathwork, David Elliott, he's also got a bunch of great meditations, breathwork meditations on Spotify. So it's really awesome that healers are out there, you know, offering this and putting this out there. That's because it's effective, it's healing, and it's lifting humanity. So thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your beautiful
offerings. Thank you so much.
And for showing up today on our Gaia Goddess podcast. It was so much fun having you with us today, and we'd love you to join us for classes, events, and retreats. You can connect with us on GaiaGoddessLifestyle.com to check out our free content and sign up for our newsletter.